Hi, I'm East. I'm playing Azel the Human Monk.
Hi, I'm Jenny, and I'm playing Alondra, the Elf Paladin.
And I'm Michael. I am playing Erin, the half-elf, half-dwarvish wizard.
All right. And with that, let us recap our last episode. So after investigating these the disappearances, after investigating the disappearances of the children of Rubbleton, the party here decided that they needed to track down the Elfronis sisters, a group of traveling merchants. These two sisters, they travel from town to town in a loop, selling oddities and trinkets and decorations. Their search is leading them outside of Rubbleton. The Elfronis sisters travel in a loop from Rubbleton to Bloom's Edge to Cobble back to Rubbleton. So the party hopes that by going from Rubbleton to Cobble, they can meet the Elfronis sisters in the middle and cut them off. So with that, the journey has begun their 10-day journey from Rubbleton to the city of Cobble. And on the way, as they are traveling with their new companion, Finthobaran, the Deep Gnome Paladin, they encountered a fallen log in the middle of a road that they were traveling on, and inside of this log lived a cockatrice. And this cockatrice leaped out and began to attack them, and about the time that they had disposed of it, the hunter that was stalking the cockatrice made itself known, a giant constrictor snake who then turned its eyes on the party. And after defeating these adversaries, the party rested and is beginning the next leg of their journey. So, we pick up on the morn of the fourth day. You are traveling across the ancient expanse, which I ask you all to close your eyes and in your mind envision Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings trilogy or his Hobbit trilogy, and picture the Shire with those rolling green hills and the lush farmlands. That is the environment that you are traveling through. There are a lot of hills where you are, and some of them are small, kind of rolling, others lead up pretty high, and this road has quite a lot of changes of elevation in it. This road is all dirt, but can get very rocky in places as you travel along it. There are large boulders or small pebbles, and you get the sense that a wagon here would be possible, but it would be probably uncomfortable because the wagon would just be kind of rattling the whole way along all these roads. The vegetation here is very lush, especially in mid-autumn, like we are now. There are the trees are gorgeous, kind of half red and yellow leaves on them. A lot of them have like kind of bare spots where the leaves have fallen off, and there's still some clinging for dear life. The leaves that have fallen are kind of dancing along in the wind in front of you as you walk. And this region that you're traveling through in the country of Fengor is known as the Ancient Expanse, and the Ancient Expanse has all these ruins kind of strewn about it that you can see as you walk. There are large standing stones or crumbled statues, and they are all here for you to kind of see at your leisure. And if you were to attempt to investigate all of them, you would be here for far too long. And most of these have been investigated by the people of Rebelton already. Most of these ones that are very obvious and out in the open, they have had numerous kind of people exploring them in various ways, but they still are a beauty to look at nonetheless. But you guys are kicking off in the morning. And as you travel here, you are full up on your meal from the night before. The fried cockatrice sits warm in your belly as you wake in the morning, and Finn will prepare a nice light breakfast of berries and some nuts that he's gathered, with a little bit of toasted mushrooms, and he'll tell you it's just like bread if you spread the berries out on top of the mushrooms, and if you eat it, it is not just like bread, in any sense of the word. It's not bad. It is a little odd to have mushrooms
for, but it's not good.
But yeah, but it's not awful. But it's definitely weird to have such an earthy, savory taste as your breakfast meal. But nonetheless, it's what you have, and Finn is a good cook. It still tastes good.
Aaron digs it. He's down.
Yeah, especially that dwarven heritage. Probably, if your family followed the traditional dwarven customs on that, you know, on your parents' side, you probably have quite a bit of mushrooms in that diet as well.
Yeah. For the record, my father was the dwarf. So I can imagine that every once in a while, my dad wanted to cook like a traditional dwarven meal, and my mom always hated it, but
yeah,
I enjoyed it. It was good. Good food.
It's always like sausages and really hearty stuff like that. And every dwarven recipe involves ale in some way or another, even like the breakfast porridge that you guys had at the tavern a couple days ago. Every dwarven recipe, if it is a traditional dwarven recipe, it has ale in it in some form or another. But yeah, so the morning, you know, you eat and you get to set off along this road, and you can begin the next leg of your journey here.
Do we still have the boa constrictor?
Yes, yeah. The night before, Finn kind of took what he needed from it. So instead of lugging a giant, like, 13-foot-long snake behind the three of you, Finn just kind of harvested what he needed from it. And so he's got some of it kind of, like, draped off of, like, these strips of snake meat draped off of his pack, kind of drying in the sun as an attempt at snake jerky. And the rest of it is kind of bundled in this, like, kind of butcher parchment that he has. That's going to hopefully keep it from soaking the inside of his pack with snake juice. But
nice.
So you guys set off, and Finn will, again, he'll fill the time by regaling you with time of his travels, the time that he spent on his own, traveling, and he called that time his dark days, because he had broken his oath to your Yharnavim, and has since sworn an oath of redemption to him, but he'll regale you with the stories of his troubled past, as you travel, and that kind of helps pass the time. You actually see another group is passing you, this time on the fourth day. There is a small, they look to be a family. So there is a mom and dad, and they have two kids, and they are kind of moving towards you, and they're in a small wagon. It's more like a cart that is pulled behind a donkey, and it looks like the mom is on the donkey's back in a saddle, kind of steering it. The kids are in the wagon, and there seems to be sacks of things, like belongings and boxes in the back. And the kids are the older one, the boy, is reading, and the younger girl has these two like straw dolls that have swords in them that she's kind of making duel each other. And they're moving kind of towards you. So you are heading north, northeast towards Kabul. They're heading southwest from Kabul. So you guys are approaching each other on the road here. And these are the first travelers that you've seen in your 4 days here. And about this time, it's probably about noon. So you've been traveling for a little while, and they're approaching you. And it's a small wagon, so they're not taking up too much of the road. You could easily, like, two of you on one side, two on the other, and step around them. And they are kind of coming towards you, and the father, he's walking beside the wagon, and he'll call out. He'll see that you're armed, you know, and he'll call out and say, "Hello, travelers.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
You know, and,
where are you? Oh.
No, go, Hazel.
Oh, no, where are you hailing from?
Well, we're on our way out of... God damn it, that's Finn's voice.
Finn?
We are hailing from Cobble. We're on our way out.
Well, it looks like you guys are leaving Cobble for sure.
Well, until things shape up.
May I ask what is leading you out?
Things have gone a little strange there. We started losing children a while back. Started disappearing, and we're lucky enough to still have ours, and that's part of the reason we're leaving. We don't want to be the next ones to lose, but at this point, you know, they were still kind of approaching, and they've stopped to have this conversation with you, and he says, but 2 days ago, the first... one of the kids came back, and it's great, but the same day another one went missing, and we just can't be around with those two. And he kind of gestures up to the cart and he says, we just can't risk it. Even if they're coming back, more are disappearing still, we just can't, we don't want to be next.
One came back?
Came running. Said she got away. Couldn't say from what. She couldn't. Her brain wouldn't work. I don't think she forgot. I think she just couldn't handle it.
What was her name?
Josephine.
Josephine. Well, me and my friends here are trying to figure out why children have been disappearing in the first place. It's the first time I think any of us have heard that someone's come back. Or more or less ran, got away from whatever has been taking them.
Really? Well, I suppose then it's good you're headed in that direction. You know, if things shape up, if you or someone else is able to put a stop to it, we're leaving a lot behind in Cobble. But until it proves itself safe, it's not a place we can risk being.
Are you familiar with the Elfrona's sisters?
Oh yeah, very. They come through every few weeks or so, making their rounds around the the loop here.
Do you happen to know where they might be in the loop, or if they've recently been through your town?
Oh, they left us a while ago. It'll be another, we should be, you know, probably next up on the list. You know, I think our time's about due for them. It's been about a month since we saw them last, so we should be coming up soon. You know, usually it's about a month that they take... You travel to one town, stay there for a few days, travel the next, stay for a little while, and move on. So it's been nigh on a month since we last saw them, so should be making their way toward us any time now.
Thank you. Now, I see that you're traveling and you've packed up what you have, but do you have any items purchased from these sisters?
You know, we had, the last time they were in town, we had bought, a set of cutlery from them, but we did so as a gift. We, a newlywed, couple in town, they just got married, so we gifted them a set of silverware from the Ophrona sisters.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time.
Of course, and you know, good luck to you. Should you be taking this investigation seriously, we hope that you can turn up something worthwhile.
Certainly would be the hope, but good luck wherever you may be going.
Same to you. Thank you.
Stay safe.
Aye, it's becoming increasingly hard to do around these parts, but we'll do our best, and so should you.
And, yes, sir.
With that, the donkey will kick into action again, and they'll begin making their way along the road. And you guys can continue. I assume that's the course of action.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you continue along the road. Again, every once in a while, Finn will dart off the side of the road and grab a flower that he'll pull up, or pick some berries off a tree or something like that. And he's just kind of foraging, running back and forth as you travel. You know, that's pretty much the only thing of excitement that happens on day four. So you can take a rest. Wake up again, and you know, the next day passes again without anything too exciting. You on this day you walk by you see a lot of these ruins, kind of particularly close to the road. On this day you walk by an obelisk that has kind of toppled over and kind of began to crumble. There's the there are boots of a statue of a deity of some kind, and you guys have fun kind of taking bets on which god that statue might have belonged to. You all kind of have different opinions on who it might be, you know, based on where you're at, what happened around here, and the really faded iconography on the base of the statue that you can hardly make out. There's a few different ideas of what you might have of who it could be. You guys toss that bet back and forth. And then, you know, that day passes again as well. And then it's on the sixth day you're traveling, and it's hidden. It's coming into evening time. It's about 4 or 5. Your tummy's starting to rumble. You're getting ready for dinner. It's just about that time. And you'll notice at this point you're in a pretty flat section of road. There are hills kind of on either side of you, but you can see kind of far ahead, almost the furthest that you've been able to. This is one of the longest flat stretches of road here that you've seen. And there are 5 armored warriors on the road that seem to be kind of maneuvering themselves in the same direction as you. I guess it would be the opposite direction of you. They are heading one direction. You are heading in the other. and the 5 mounted warriors here. And you notice that they are wearing very nice sets of plate armor. Very like professional, expensive looking suits of armor. They all have spears over their backs and shields. And however, most things, like if you notice, like the paladins of Stelnos, they all bear a tabard that displays, you know, kind of the order that they are aligned with. You notice that this set of riders, they do not bear any sort of sigil depicting who they might swear allegiance to, whether it's a nation or a group or a god. There's no sort of identifying mark on them. And as you can see them, you're about... like roughly 50 feet away from them. They call out, and the one kind of in the middle here, like the head, kind of the head of the caravan here, he's just slightly ahead of his group. He's gonna call out and say, "Halt! Stop where you are. Step off the side of the road, and let us pass. Hands in the air as we pass by."
On whose authority?
Mine.
And who would you be?
They're going to kind of ride a little bit forward.
Oh.
Aaron will step off a little bit to the side.
Oh, my.
They're going to come forward and they're going to say, "We're the mounted warriors with weapons drawn," and they're all going to take out their spears. And they're going to say,
"That's a weird name."
"And you are the roach with a pointy knife on his side. Please,
roach,
we will not ask again. Clear the way."
Hazel's going to look to Alondra. He's going to trust whatever action sets in motion.
Aaron is going to ready a silent image of a giant monster coming out of the brush if he senses that weapons are being drawn from the enemy.
Okay.
Actually, good.
But he is set to the side.
Read the components of silent image for me.
Oh, shoot. Maybe I don't have the components. Oh, no, I do. It's just a bit of fleece.
That's not... So, I mean, is it...
Nothing's like, consumed.
Is it verbal or somatic?
Yeah, it's all of the above.
Okay,
so
to ready the
spell, he won't, like, cast it, but...
Yeah, to ready the spell, what you're doing is, like, saying the word and casting the action and then holding it right before you release it. So if you did that, they can see
okay.
Casting the spell.
Aaron will not.
Okay.
Okay.
What's the play,
guys? Alondra's going to step forward. Right there.
Okay.
And she's going to say, "You never answered on whose authority. You're just some mountain horseman."
Frontmost rider is going to say, "We gave you multiple chances to avoid this.
God damn it."
Go ahead and let's
roll. We're about to die.
Yeah, let's roll initiative.
Yes. We're gonna die. Mm.
Love that.
Let's go.
Bro, I've rolled like doo-doo.
I've been
this
having
be the
like
game where
sub
I rolled,
10
like,
initiatives
crap
this whole time.
Gupta.
Whoop, there it is.
Yeah, this is gonna be interesting.
Norrin, just so you can ready, I likely am going to cast that silent image. So if you can just ready the scariest monster I might have seen in this realm, that's likely what it's going to be.
Okay. I'll find something good. Okay. So first up is actually going to be Azel. That was you with the 23, right?
I did get a nat 20, by the way.
That was Aaron.
Oh, that was Aaron. Okay. I got my A's mixed up.
I wish. Azel tripped on a rock.
Let me make an adjustment. Finn looks like he is kind of waiting to see what the rest of you did. He actually kind of stepped a couple steps to the side, not all the way off the road, but like his initial reaction was to step away.
What kind of paladin is he?
One that's gonna live this encounter.
But yeah, it seemed like his original intent was to kind of step away, but then once things started to devolve, he kind of decided to stand his ground a bit. But Aaron, I guess you're up first.
Yeah, so I will cast a silent image. So it's gonna take a 15-foot cube. Its concentration lasts 10 minutes. It's purely visual. But let's see. Yeah, so I'm going to have it just appear. Yeah, is that what you placed just there?
Yeah.
Okay, then yeah, that would be a great place for it.
Okay. Aaron, you summon this... this beast of writhing teeth and slime and tentacles. It has these three tails. Each of them has like a mouth on the end of it. And it is this writhing, slimy beast that appears to barrel out of the brush and start thrashing about, albeit silently. Go ahead and read that spell description to me, Aaron.
Yeah, okay, so it says you create the image of an object, creature, or some other visible phenomenon that is no larger than 15-foot cube. Image appears at a spot within range and lasts for the duration. Image is purely visual. It isn't accompanied by sound or other sensory effects. And you can use your action to move the image. And as it changes location, you can make it look so that it appears natural for that movement. Physical interactions reveal that it's an illusion because things can pass through it. And they can do a intelligence investigation check against the DC. So I probably would have it be like a little bit like hidden in the brush. So like not so that they can immediately see it, but so it is appearing. Cool. Yeah, so I'll just have it be like appearing right there. Okay. Perfect.
Awesome. Okay. Great. Anything else? You want to move at all?
I certainly will move. I will move pretty much behind it.
Okay.
As best I can. So awesome. that will certainly be my move.
Okay. Well, I will move to Warriors, then they're after you, and I will do we'll do intelligence, we'll do investigation with each of them, to see how they are affected by this. And because it is the month of Illusion Moon, they'll have disadvantage on these saves. What is your save DC so I can...
It would be a 15.
Okay. So this front rider succeeds. It will go to the one that is behind him to...
Nuts.
That is a fail on this one. He believes it. So let's do... These symbols that they allow me to place on them, a lot of them are like very specific. Let's do that face. That looks kind of like a scared face. The guy across from him. Oh, wow. Very low. That guy's dumb as rocks. That's a 4.
Thank goodness.
And then we'll do the back left. Wow, real good. That is an 18 on him. And then the remaining rider. Sorry, that guy succeeded. I put a face on him, but he succeeded. The remaining rider, however, got a natural 1. And so because of that, I'm actually going to give him the frightened condition.
Ooh, I like that.
So the other ones just think that this is real. They don't perceive it as illusion. This guy back here in the back right, he perceives it as very real, and he is extraordinarily scared of it. But the one in the back left here and the very front one, they are not fazed by it. They can pierce through the illusion.
Okay, not bad.
So, it is the turn of the mounted riders. They can move 60 feet. So, this guy, the back one that is frightened, he is going to turn tail. He's going to go and just ride off down the road as he is overcome by fear.
He fled.
I'm pretty sure that Silent...
Yeah, you better run!
Concentration.
Thank goodness.
Is that correct, Aaron? Is Silent Image concentration?
Yeah, I will be concentrating real hard.
As that mounted rider turns to run away, the one that isn't phased is going to say, "You imbecile, get back here. It's not even real." And he's going to charge. And he's going to come toward you, Aaron.
Oh.
Because he wants to break your concentration on that.
Oh, okay.
Yikes.
So he's going to come charging at you with his spear. And that's going to be an 18 to hit.
Shield.
Okay. He comes charging at you. And then you throw up this wall of crackling blue energy. And spear strikes it and just bounces up. And he is going to curse. Fuck.
Serves that dude right, man.
Guys, they're not so sure about what their boss said, so they are going to steer clear of that direction. And that one's going to come charging at Alondra. But that's going to be a 7.
Nope.
So that will be a big old miss. This guy.
Jeez!
Hey, Norrin, I have to ask, would me casting shield end my concentration?
Is shield a concentration spell?
Shield's not, so...
No.
I you had to ask. Good. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
As long
what
as
if he said yes?
You cannot cast two concentration spells, but you can concentrate on a spell and cast a spell that's not concentration. That's totally fine.
Sweet.
That guy's going to come over here, and he's going to attempt to hit Finn. That's going to be a 16 to hit. Oh, I forgot to long rest Finn. Um, 16 is going to miss Finn. Finn manages to get his shield up in time to block the spear on that. And then this guy is going to go 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 25, 50, 55. He's going to come here and try and spear Hazel. Hazel, that is a 30, 20 to hit.
Ooh.
Son of a bitch! No, that hits.
Ten points of piercing damage. As he gets you
I'm bloodied.
Speared. Nice and good.
Nice and good.
Okay, Azel, it's your turn. Actually, hold on. But before he passes, so when the guy hits you, Finn is going to use his channel divinity, and he is going to use Rebuke the Violent. Immediately after an attacker within 30 feet deals damage with an attack against a creature other than you, you can use your reaction to force the attacker to make a wisdom saving throw. On a failure, he takes radiant damage equal to the damage just dealt. So, Finn is going to make the mounted warrior make a wisdom save and rebuke him for acting violently against his friend. And the warrior fails, so he is going to take damage equal to how much he just hit you for. What did I tell you? 10?
10.
Yeah.
As his spear strikes into you, Finn is going to whip around, and he's the holy symbol on his shield is going to glow. It's this big eye, and it's going to send out this beam of gold light that's going to strike into the mounted rider there, and the rider is heavily wounded at this point, like almost falling off of his horse. He looks bad from that. And that was the end of the writer's turn. So Azel, now it's your turn. This one here is like,
okay.
Mans is in pain.
Pretty close.
Oh yeah.
Okay. He gone. Okay. I'm just gonna do an unarmed strike on him. Just try to sucker punch him, I guess.
Right on.
Or not sucker punch him, but just get a hit off. Because it's not really a sucker punch if I'm speared. 19 to hit.
That hits.
Solid. Okay. That's 8 damage.
Oh, yeah. You, kind of jump up and give this guy an uppercut, and he kind of arcs like 3 feet up off his horse,
Mario.
And then clatters on the ground, and the horse whoops. I still had the holy beam selected. And the horse running off. You have defeated that guy.
Sweet.
Movement.
And as a
bonus action, if you'd like.
But hell yeah. As a free action, I'm just gonna turn to Alondra and say, and Finn, and be like, "You guys take care of this. I'm gonna go help Aaron. I'm gonna go 5, 10, 15. And I want Azel to like jump, and I want him to like punch this guy like back in the neck. This homeboy. And I'm going to spend my Ki points to make two more unarmed strikes.
All right, flurry of blows. Go for
with
it.
With flurry of blows. Okay, so the first unarmed strike is not going to hit, I don't think, for 10.
10 is a miss, yeah.
Okay. Well, here comes the other one. For 10 again.
Oh, man. You jump up and you give two punches. Pa, pa.
Valiant effort, but no delivery.
Clang against the plate mail to just no effect. And your knuckles are almost like throbbing after punching into this metal. You have to kind of like shake it off and like pop your knuckles. All right, Azel. After your turn, it is Alana's turn.
Okay. Well, I'm just gonna look at her sword and be like, as a free action and speak. Well, I don't know if I'm doing this right, but you know, I was trying to explore my options and then going to try to jab at the soldier in front of her.
Okay.
And that is a 17 to hit.
That misses.
Oh. Okay. And then she's gonna rear around and try to jab him with her short sword.
Okay.
And that is an 18 to hit.
That just barely hits.
Okay, that's good to know. 18 user class. That's 5 piercing damage.
5 damage, okay. Okay. So you reach up, and again, it's one of those things where your rapier hits him, and it just kind of like bends as it strikes him, as it hits the plate mail. And then you whip around quickly and give him like a side stab and kind of find a chink in the plate, and you can slip in between and get him with the short sword. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. After you, it's Finn. Finn is going to take a step forward here. Take out his blade, and he is going to burn a spell slot to pump a, well, let's see if he hits first. He's going to make an attack. That's going to be a natural one, so he's going to totally miss. He swings his sword, and he's just so short, and this guy is up so high, being mounted on his horse, that Finn just kind of slashes at the air, and he's like, if you were down here, I'd be giving you the what for? You coward? Come down and fight me on the ground.
And he's love that.
Like, just like yelling up
hell
at,
yeah.
At this warrior on the horse. All right, Aaron, it's your turn.
Okay. Let's see. So the one in front of me has not taken any damage, right?
Correct. Yeah, he has not been struck.
Okay. Then, shoot, I have disadvantage because he's right next to me. Is that correct?
On
For me casting?
On a ranged spell attack, you would.
Okay.
But anything that he needs to do a saving throw.
And their AC.
Would be fine.
Okay, that's good. And then their AC, we found out, was 18.
It's pretty high, yeah.
Yeah.
Dang. Okay. Yeah,
that
is pretty
cut out for us.
We do. I don't want to waste a spell. Okay, yeah, so I am going to cast Mind Sliver at this one right in front of me.
Okay.
So it's going to have to make an intelligence saving throw.
And that's going to be a 10.
Okay. So it takes some psychic damage, and then the next saving throw that it makes needs to get minus a d4. So Azo, I don't know if you have anything that makes him do a saving throw, but that could help you. So
let's find out.
And I will do 2 points of damage.
Aaron?
Shoot, I think I can't move this silent image without using my action, so yeah, I think that'll be it, because if I try and get out of his range, he can attack me anyways, so
okay.
Yeah, I will sit there and just stare him in the face as I blast him with my third eye.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Sounds good. After you, it's going to be the warrior's turns. So he's going to make an attack at you, Aaron.
Okay.
That's going to be a 22.
Ooh.
Yeah, that hits, and I'm going to let this one...
That's going to be 11 points of damage as he spears you.
Oh. Okay. That's a lot of damage.
Make a con save to try and maintain concentration.
That's a 22. So concentration's good. I don't know if it's doing anything, but...
well, the one that's frightened is continuing to run down the road away.
Oh, that's good.
So you have like essentially removed one of them from the fight completely with just... one spell slot. He's like 120 feet down the road now, not even looking back.
Okay, I will take that.
Yeah, so that's no, it definitely was good. And these two are not inclined to come near you at all. So they are keen to leave that alone. Because neither of them can recognize it's an illusion still. They're still uncertain about it. Their boss has told them that it is, but they don't believe him. But those ones are going to attack Alondra for way too low. That was like a 6.
Nope.
Comes in with this spear with 2 hands, and you are able to take your blades and you like form them in an X, and you bring them up and like catch the spear and then split the X and just like knock it to the side. And then this one here is going to kind of circle around Finn, come to the back, and spear at him with a natural 1 in turn. Finn got a natural 1 against him, he got a nat 1 against Finn.
Fair.
The sides have been balanced.
Hell yeah.
I think that's all of them, because the other one is just continuing to run. So that is the mounted warrior's turn. So Azel, it's your turn now.
Sweet. I'm going to do another unarmed strike against the guard in front of me.
Okay.
Would Azel and Aaron be considered flanking?
Yeah. Yeah, so go ahead and do it with advantage. Sorry, Aaron, I guess you could have done a ranged spell attack. It would have just been a straight roll. Cause
oh, dang it. Oh, well.
Shit.
My bad.
Okay.
No worries.
It was 17 to hit.
That misses. Sorry.
Yeah. Fuck. So... I technically took the attack action, so I can try it one more. I'm going to spend a Kai point. Fuck it.
Yeah, that's true. You did take the attack action, so you can...
Okay, here we go. Flurry of blows again.
All right.
Yeah, Azel's not giving up. He's very headstrong, and he is wanting to beat the shit out of this guy. Okay, that's 18 to hit.
Yeah, it just hits. You just scrape him.
Oh. Sweet. 5 damage.
Okay.
And then for the second unarmed strike, it doesn't hit.
Okay. You give him a good clock to the back of the head, and he kind of rocks on the horse a bit. And then you come up, and while you're still in the air, you use the momentum from the punch to try and do like a spinning kick in the air. But he was kind of launched forward with so much force from the punch that he like leans forward flat with the horse, and your kick just swirls in the air like where his head was a split second before. And then you land back on the ground. And he looks rough. You definitely rung his bell.
Yeah.
Mans is barely hanging on there. Anything else?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Okay. Nope. That's pretty much it. I took my bonus. Yeah. That's it. Hazel's still sticking it out. He's getting a little more frustrated with each time his like kicks or his punch kind of like misses, and it makes him more determined. Like, okay, I'm gonna knock this guy out.
Okay. Alondra, it's your turn.
She's gonna take out her sword again and be like, "You gave me this magic, huh?" And then gonna try to hit him. That is an 18 to hit.
That just hits.
And she's gonna pump a searing smite into it.
Awesome.
And so that is going to be 4 piercing damage and then 1 fire damage.
Okay. And he bursts into those dark blue flames.
And that's all she's gonna do.
Awesome. Yeah, great. Your blade bursts into flames and you stab it into him and they take and he is padding furiously and it's just having no effect because this is ordinary fire. Next up is Finn. Finn's gonna leap and swing for 10. Finn still can't get the height that he needs. He's swiping his sword back and forth, and he is just cursing like a sailor. I swear to God, if you were down here with me! And he is just, like, rattling off. Alright, Aaron, it's your turn. Avaros is gonna say, "It seems like you're bleeding, little worm."
I was actually going to say, I will literally like spit out some blood on top of Avaros and say, "How's this for fear?" And so I will respond in turn to Avaros. And then what I'm going to do. Okay, range spell attack. How's the guy in front of me looking? Does he look okay?
He got hit pretty hard by Azel last turn, so he definitely looks like he is pretty worn out. This man is not doing great for as much talk as he was spitting at you guys.
Okay. Does this look like more of a spell slot than a cantrip? Finish then. I mean, I know you can't give me an immediate answer to that. So,
his eyes are really glossy. He's kind of swaying in his seat. He's got proverbial
put him in a coffin.
Birds spit, floating around his head right now.
Okay, so not horrible. Shoot. Well, I will just unleash all... Frick. Yeah, I'll just unleash a fire bolt at him then.
Okay. Yeah, because you're flanking, advantage, so it'll just be a straight roll to cancel out the advantage.
Ah, shoot, that's a 17 to hit.
Oh, man. Just misses.
Okay, yeah, then that's all I can do. I'll eat my little snack.
Okay.
With my bonus action.
2 temporary hit points.
Okay, cool.
Okay. After you, Aaron, it is the mounted warrior's turn. He's going to try and spear you. And that's going to be a 19.
And that is why I didn't use it. I'm going to shield with my last spell slot.
Yes.
Bleeding from just like from where this first got hit. You send up another shield, and once again, his bounces his spear up high. And
just like a wave of like water.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
Water like energy just.
Yeah, shoots up like a giant tidal wave. He strikes it, and the ricochet almost makes him lose grip on it. He went in, he was holding the spear kind of in the middle of the haft, went down, and then bounces up, and he's got it by one hand on, like, just the very end of it. Like, he's almost let it go, and he has to kind of ride himself back up on top of the horse.
Oof.
Yeah, close one. Okay. This one is on fire. He's going to make a con save against your Searing Smite. And that's a 6. So he's going to stay fired, and you can
roll a D6. Does not save. It is a 6!
Ooh, oh my gosh.
He had,
he had 6 health left.
Yay!
Hell yeah, Jenny!
The flame in gold.
Hell yeah, Jenny!
Alondra, these blue flames, and he falls off the horse, unable to combat any longer.
Sweet.
The horse by Finn is finally going to land an attack. He hits Finn.
Yes, sir!
Finn is going to take...
Why did you congratulate that? Finn just got hit, Azel.
Oh, I thought Finn actually...
No!
I thought it was reversed, my bad.
No, Finn
that's unfortunate. Yeah, Azel hears, like, Finn grunt, and he's like, get him, Finn! And he turns around, and he's like...
No! Oh, you got me!
Yeah, get him, buddy!
That was...
Oh!
Maybe it should be. Oh, you got me!
Oh.
I'm Finn, this is my voice now.
Hit him in the vocal cords.
I've sustained permanent damage to my throat. This is what I sound like now. Oh, God. Okay, Azel, it's your turn.
Okay, you already know what I'm gonna do.
Pop pop.
He's fired up.
He's killed him.
Yeah, this time Azel's gonna use his short sword that he's got on him.
All right.
Son of a bitch! 16.
Again,
is it with advantage?
That's true. You're flanking. Was that advantage?
Okay. Cool, here we go. Oh, yeah. Well, here we go. The second one will definitely not hit.
Okay.
That was a 7 to hit. But I get a bonus action unarmed strike because I made an attack with a monk weapon. So. Okay, well, everything still misses.
So, you finish your spin kick from the last round, you land on the ground,
yeah,
you crouch down,
it at all.
Grab your short sword, slash at his back, and it just clangs off of his armor, and then you kind of follow through with like a roundhouse upward kick, and just goes completely wide. And this guy, like, maybe he doesn't even know that you're behind him, because you've just...
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, come on!
Alondra, it's your turn.
Yeah, that's...
Okay.
That's it.
What that's happened to fun. the horse that... Did he run away?
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to do something cool. Okay. Oh, I'm just gonna go...
Sorry,
five.
We don't get to do cool things. They're forbidden.
Yeah, what?
I wanted to do a Mulan-esque style kind of thing, but it's okay. She's gonna go behind this guy and try to attack him with her rapier.
Okay. Go ahead and make an attack.
And that is a 16 to hit, so that won't hit. But she's going to try to hit it with the sword. And that is a 19 to hit.
Okay.
And
hell yeah, it is!
Piercing damage.
Six. Awesome.
Si, senor.
Alright. Yeah, again.
Oh, dang. There's a... Norn, could I re-roll it? Wouldn't that be at advantage? Well, yeah, because I'm flanking with Finn.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Okay, that one hits. That's a 7. No, wait. Yeah, that's an 18 to hit.
Okay.
Okay, this is with the rapier then. Okay, that is 6 damage with the rapier.
Okay, so 6 and 6. So that is enough.
Oh, sorry, Finn.
To drop him. So you come, you turn around and you come charging up behind the horse. Your first blade comes in one side, your other one comes around the other, and you kind of have him on a, almost like a rotisserie, you know, as you get him on the side, and he kind of slumps over and tumbles and rolls off the back of the horse. And he is deceased.
Rip.
He has contracted the dead.
The dead!
Alright. After you, Alondra, it's Finn's turn. Finn's gonna go 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Oh, just barely get within melee range of this guy.
Oh. Kill him, Finn!
And
kill
Finn's
him!
Gonna make an attack
yourself!
Roll. Finn is,
please, I can't do it!
Finn is just yelling this whole time. As he's charging over. Finn rolled a 2. Plus 5 is 7. So he comes running over. He, like, drops his shield over here, and he takes his longsword with 2 hands. And he lets out this roar and does this big two-handed upward swing and just completely misses.
Rip.
And he just, like a bad golfer, on the follow-through, he lets go of the sword and it just goes, like, flying through the air and, like, lands on the ground over here. Aaron,
Man.
It's your turn.
Okay. Can I ask, when I've did the illusion, did it have any effect on the horses?
That's part of the reason that the horses are running away like this. The horses are really small.
Oh.
These are war horses, so they're trained. But as soon as they don't have someone forcing them to be around this scary monster, that's part of the reason they're taking off booking it.
Okay, because I had a thought of trying to make an illusion at this horse's feet. So that's what I'm going to try and do now.
Okay.
Is I am just going to, from my little book of spells. I'm just going to make it appear like that snake comes alive and just like goes to intertwine around the horse's hoofs to try and scare the horse. Try and like unbalance the dude or get him to run away, whatever is possible.
Okay, yeah, great. I'll make a intelligence save with disadvantage for the horse. Oh yeah. Nat one. The horse is totally spooked by this. And rears up, and the rider totally falls, and the horse takes off running, and so the rider is now... What I'm going to do is just shrink this down into a 5-foot square, and the rider is now prone on the ground.
Okay.
He falls on his back, and the horse runs away.
Sweet. I wish I could finish him in this state, but that would be my turn.
Okay. Azel, he is prone, lying in the ground in front of you, so you have advantage.
Let's save him.
Okay. So before I...
It's up to you what you would like to do.
Yeah, Azel's really fired up that he couldn't even. He's gonna at least unarm strike. He's gonna sheath the sword and he's just gonna wind a fist up and he's gonna try one more time, just to finish this man.
Okay.
That's a dirty 20.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sweet. And so, yeah, he's gonna hit 7 damage. And yeah, he's gonna like wind up, and as he like lands in the fist, he's gonna like scream, and just like he's gonna do it. Well, yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's... You let out a guttural roar as your fist slams into face area. I assume. What's your play here? What does this look like?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Just.
Azel's going straight for the nose, like he's trying to.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh man, that's gonna.
Hell yeah.
I don't think he's gonna get up from that.
No.
You kind of like just concave the front of his skull. There's like this squish as you pull it, as you get him. Assuming that you wanted it to be final.
Yeah.
Okay.
Azel wanted it to be final.
Okay. Yeah. So you basically just concave the front of this guy's face and you kind of pull your hand away and have to shake it off. And then Finn is going to look around and he's going to slump his head and drag his feet as he goes to pick up his shield and sword.
Poor Finn.
As you say, sorry about that. I did me best. They really got me throat, didn't they? Oof.
Oh, we gotta help him! Make sacks!
You're the one who looks like you took a beating. And he's gonna put a cure wounds into you, Azel.
My man!
Nice.
He rolled pretty bad. 5.
Hell yeah.
Aaron, he'll put one in you too. Sweet. Aaron, that's better. That's 10 for you.
Oh, thank goodness. I'll gladly take that.
And then, Elandra, did you get hit?
No.
Okay, right on. He'll kind of look at you and he'll say,
show off.
He'll say, that's why I didn't give you a treat. You didn't need one.
Understandable.
I'll start like investigating the bodies just to see if I can figure anything out about who they are,
Oh,
if they have
same.
any like orders or like symbols on them,
Okay.
if possible.
Yeah, for sure. Make an investigation check for me.
Ah, shoot. Well, that's a natural one. So by myself, I find nothing.
Yeah, so you lost a lot of stuff to search on them when the horses fled because there are no saddlebags near them anymore. You know?
Oh.
So there's not a lot of room for them to have stuff on them to begin with in this state. You know, most of them had kind of packed away their stuff with the horses. But yeah, with you try and look through and you're a little worn out, you know, maybe mentally from the casting those spells, and you did just get stabbed. You may have gotten healed, but you still got stabbed pretty bad earlier. So, you're not necessarily in the mood to like strip the plate off of each of them because doffing plate armor can take like upwards of 30 or 40 minutes, and that's if a person is alive taking off their own armor. It's probably even harder to get it off a limp puppet. So that just sounds like too much work right now. You don't have the energy in you to be that thorough and strip off the plate armor.
That is
Is that
definitely
better
fair.
than chainmail? Sorry.
What was that, Alondra?
I said, is that better than chainmail than
Plate
the
armor, yeah, it
armor,
is. Yeah.
Alondra? Oh.
Are you about to boonk it? She's about to
Yeah,
boonk it.
I'm about to broom kit it.
What do you have now?
I have chainmail.
Oh no.
Yeah, I think chain is an 18 base. I think no, chain is a 16 base. I think plate is 18.
Could I
Yeah.
take chainmail, Norin? Is that. I can't remember.
Chain is medium. Let me check.
I can't remember what proficiency that the dwarf thing had, or whatever.
Oh, I think I texted you, or sent it to you in the Discord what we were going with. I think I told you if you. Because that came with the specific dwarf sub-race, which we didn't do. So I said if you wrote it in.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm not sure where I told you. I may have texted you that.
Yeah, it looks like chainmail is heavy armor, so.
Okay. So yeah, it wouldn't work anyway. But, Alondra, you could totally take a set of plate mail. You guys will be here for a little upwards of an hour as you attempt to take it off of him. But
I will rest.
well, and you know, it was about like getting close to dinner time when you guys started this anyway, so maybe if you'd like to just settle down here
This is
anyway,
where we start.
you could.
Yeah. That's
Yeah.
what Azel would suggest.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Let's just sleep here for the night.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so you guys, Alondra, you can take plate mail that you salvage. You know, you can definitely, between the four people that are here, you can find pieces of them across them that fit. And you know, they're strapped, so they're pretty adjustable. So you're able to piece together a nice suit of plate mail. And this is rather nice plate mail. These were in great condition, and I mean they're a little scuffed up now that you guys have just defeated them, but for the most part this is high quality armor that you've got, so yeah,
Sweet.
definitely a score on that.
Armor's up. Woot.
So yeah, go ahead and you all can long rest, and that was on day 6. So, long rest on day six here, and then wake up the next day on seven and continue on. And as you are walking along, you know, the next day passes again kind of without much issue. You're on your eighth day of the journey now. And you've come to a part where the hills, so this was a really flat stretch of the journey. Now the hills have kind of risen up and have gotten pretty high. And you're coming to a part where, as you're walking, the hill is like on the right side of the road. The hill is quite high up above you, probably 20 or 30 feet, and hugging the road pretty tightly. And as you are walking along this road on the eighth day, a couple of like rocks begin to fly at you from up above on the hill. So Alondra, your armor class is higher now, so this is gonna miss, but a rock slings out and it hits the shoulder of your plate armor and bounces off. At the same time, Azel, a rock flies and it clocks you like right in the side of the head. You're gonna take 4 points of bludgeoning damage. And Aaron, one hits you as well.
Shield.
Kind of.
No, I'm just kidding.
And that's gonna be 3 points of bludgeoning damage. This one hits you in the ribs.
Ooh.
And you are kind of coming, there are hills on either side of you. As you look up, there are three kobolds armed with slings up above you on the road, and they're hurling rocks down at you. And they're screaming, "Get away! Stay away! This is ours! We found it first!" And they're throwing rocks down at you. And that's where we're going to end this episode of Dungeon Story.
Dang it!
Yeah, so you have
asshole
stumbled into an ambush of sorts, it seems. And yeah, we'll pick up there next week. But isn't this map cool?
Yeah.
That is cool.
It's super sick.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Love it. I can't wait.
Look at you go.
Yeah. I built 3 maps ahead of this session.
Hey.
Good job.
So.
Go, dude. Hell yeah, bro.
We'll pick up with this ambush here
next
week on Dungeon Stories. Everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Dungeon Stories. It's so cool to be able to do this. And even if like no one ever listened, it's still cool just to play D&D. So that's really... that's really all we need, but it means that you are here along for that ride. If you are watching on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe and comment and all that stuff. Follow us on our socials at Stories Dungeon on Instagram and Twitter. We're Dungeon Stories on Facebook. If you're on iTunes, leaving a positive review helps us boost up and get seen a little easier on that. So that helps as well. And then, of course, just word of mouth. Just let people know that there are stories to be told of the dungeon variety, and they'll know what you mean if you just tell them that. You don't need to elaborate any further. They'll get it. Anyway, with that, we'll see you next week on Dungeon Stories. Everyone, thank you so much. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.